To look at our lesson tonight, you might be turning to Ephesians chapter 3. And as a disclaimer, I have to give you a little background. I had a full day of stuff planned yesterday. About 11 o'clock or so, Albert calls and says, Steve thought he was going to be able to make it, but he's not. I need somebody to preach. I said, well, have you called your two sons? Have you called this one? Have you called that one? He said, I'll check on some things. Then he calls me back in a little while and says, struck out. I said, okay. So I looked at Shirley. I said, okay, I've got a blank page here. I've got no ideas. Oh, Albert actually said, you've got one in the oven. You've got one you're thinking about, in other words. I said, nope, oven's empty. So I looked at Shirley and said, I got a totally blank page. I have no idea what to talk about tomorrow night. This was about, I said, 11 o'clock yesterday. So she made a couple of comments, and I said, okay, that's a thought. So I took off with it there. And I will tell you, this is about half borrowed and half mine. I mean, I got some thoughts together, and I hope it works out. It is on praying for inner strength. It's based on Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, and we'll read that in just a minute. I did not pick it because of the prayer theme. It turned out that way, but that was not in mind when it talked about that. But there's a comment that Shirley made about praying for others who are sick and the strength they need and things, brought that up. So, excuse me, praying for inner strength. Let's read these verses together, Ephesians 3, 14 through the end of the chapter. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the Church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and forever. Amen. Paul is praying, if you look at verse 14 here, for the Ephesian Christians. He's praying to the Father on their behalf, and we want to concentrate on what he says in verse 16. He prays that He, God, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So let's talk about that verse a little bit. Every Christian has an inner man. Our inner man is our spiritual part. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, and this is when he's answering the lawyer who was tempting him about the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. We use this verse in the invitation talk I did Wednesday night, and some others that we use in this lesson. The heart, the soul, the mind, here in this verse, refer to the inner man, the inner person. So obviously, so if we have an inner person, we must also have an outer or outward person. 2 Corinthians 4:16 talks about that. Therefore, we do not lose heart. And we'll talk about this phrase, lose heart, some more in a minute. We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So our outward man is our physical body, and it is perishing, it's dying, it's decaying as we go through life. But our inward man is our spirit. It's to be renewed each day. Another verse on that same distinction between outward man and inward man is Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Our inner person is much more important than our outer person. Notice in this prayer in Ephesians 3, that Paul makes no mention of about praying for anything physical or material. Paul is concerned with their spiritual needs, their spiritual well-being, more so than their physical and material needs. Later in this lesson, Paul asks the Ephesians to pray for him. He urges them to pray that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Chapter 6, verse 20. And stop and think about where Paul is now. This is written from prison. So, if I were in Paul's position and I wanted you to pray for me, I'm afraid I might want you to pray that I'd be set free. I won't get out of that prison. My physical needs there. But Paul requests that the Ephesians pray for him to be able to boldly continue to preach, even in the circumstance which he was in. Then there's that very familiar passage in Matthew chapter 6, beginning about verse 25 and ending with verse 33, where it ends up with, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you." So, what are they dealing with? Jesus here is dealing with people that are worrying. And we'll talk more about worry in just a minute, too. They're worried about their food and their drink, their clothing, these material things. The trouble he essentially is telling them is that you're starting at the wrong end. You're worrying about the material things instead of starting with what you ought to be starting with, and that is seeking God and seeking his kingdom first, seeking the unseen things, the inner man things, if you will. So he ends up there in verse 36, telling them to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be taken care of. So he puts an emphasis there on the inner man, the importance of the inner man. Remember back in 1 Samuel chapter 6, when Samuel's going through looking for the successor for David, that verse when he says, God told him, says, don't look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I refuse him. Because God doesn't see like man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, the inner man. So we're often anxious about those things that affect the outer man. Things like our food and our drink and our clothing. But if we became more anxious, and I use that word in quotes, about things about our inner man, our spiritual man, these things are far more important. And the inner man is eternal, for the outward man is going to decay and pass away. The strength of our inner person determines our success against temptation. So think about this for a minute. The inner man and our strength there. In Mark 7, verses 20 through 23, another passage I used Wednesday night, Jesus said, "It's not that which goes into the man that pollutes him, but rather that which comes out of him. It's out of the heart comes evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and so on." So it's not the intensity of the temptation, if you will, that causes us to fall or not fall. It's the strength of our heart, how we handle that temptation. The inner person determines whether we're going to stand or fall. Think about this. Two people are tempted with the exact same temptation. They think that our trial, and one stands and one falls. Well, the question is why? Why would one stand or fall facing the exact same temptation? Well, the difference is not the temptation, it's the same, but it's the preparation. It's what's in the heart, what's in the inner man, and how he's going to deal with that temptation, the strength of the inner man. Going back to our verse 16 again, Ephesians 3:16. Our inner man needs to be strengthened with might. That's the phrase used in that verse. We've already used 2 Corinthians 4:16 that our outward man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. In other words, outwardly we're wasting away, and inwardly we're being renewed. So turn with me and look for a minute at Isaiah chapter 40. Just a few verses there. Isaiah chapter 40. Look at some two or three verses starting at verse 28. Isaiah 40:28. It says, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? And I'm going to stop just a minute right there. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Do y'all really believe that? That that's who He is? Deep down? If we don't, really there's nobody to continue the rest of the verse, because that's key to it. I've said in classes I was teaching times before that if you read the first five words in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created, and you don't believe that, you might as well just kind of throw out the rest of it, because that's key to the whole thing. So look at this kind of the same way. Let's go back now. Verse 28. Have you not known, have you not read, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Remember that phrase. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall stutter, shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So back in our main text in Ephesians 3, the verse right before we started with verse 14. Back and look at verse 13. In verse 13, Paul says that, I desire that you faint not. And then he starts this prayer. So I desire that you faint not. It says in the original King James. The new King James says that, therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart in tribulation. To faint or lose heart is to become discouraged. To be strengthened, verse 16 we're looking at, is the opposite of this fainting or being discouraged. We're strengthened as opposed to fainting when situations come upon us. Notice that Paul does not pray that their circumstances for the Ephesians be changed, whatever it is they're looking at there, but instead he prays that they be given inner strength to deal with those things, strengthened with might by God's Spirit and the inner man, the verse says. So when you're praying for others, when I'm praying for others that have some kind of difficulty, what do I ask God to do for them? Do I pray that their circumstances might be changed? If they are sick, do I only pray that they might get better? If they are in need of a job, do I only pray that they might find a job? If they've got marriage problems, do I only pray that their marriage will be improved? The point I'm making is our prayers need to go beyond that and ask God for strength for the inner man. We need to pray for spiritual strength for ourselves and others. A change in spiritual strength is probably more needful than a change in circumstances. Now, we want people to get well. We want people to find a job. We want people to get through marriage problems. But the inner strength to deal with these things, do we pray for that? We pray for strength for these people is the question. What often happens when things go wrong in our lives is that we tend to become anxious. We start worrying. Our hearts and our minds are plagued with worry. And I'll just tell you, I admit, and on my notes I've got a capital ME. This is something that's a problem for me. I have to work on it. I've worked on it for a long time, and I'm not there yet. That's a challenge. Do not worry. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. So how do we obey that command? The New International says, do not be anxious about anything. There's only one way that I know of to get rid of this anxiety, this worry. And that's prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Cast all your cares on Him. He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. And then finishing Philippians 4:6, I read the first part of the verse, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you do this, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The next verse says, Philippians 4:7. The circumstances may not have changed. They remain exactly the same, but instead of anxiety in my heart, through prayer I can gain peace for that. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You may have seen someone in an athletic contest. He doesn't play up to his normal game. He lacks the intensity and the drive that you would normally see out of this person. Someone may say, well, his heart's just not in it today. Maybe he's distracted by something in his life. Maybe his girlfriend just broke up with him. He's not concentrating on the goal of his game. So we say his heart's not in it. So this illustrates, what I'm trying to illustrate with that is that the strength of the inner person, his heart, his inner being is not in the game. He's not playing with the intensity he would have. So if your heart, if my heart and mind are filled with discouragement and anxiety, it'd be very difficult for us to be victorious when temptations and troubles come. We need to fill our mind with good things, not with negative things. What's the very next verse say? We read Philippians 4:6, 4:7. Now we're at 4:8. And 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things and get the worry out of our mind. Look at this term, grant. God will grant us the inner strength if we ask Him for it. The word grant indicates that the inner strength is a gift from God. It's a gift we can receive if we desire it and ask for it. With Matthew 7:7. Ask and be given to you, seeking you'll find, knock, be opened. Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you want to avoid fainting, we've already talked about that phrase a time or two earlier. If you want to avoid fainting, if you want to avoid being discouraged, pray. Ask God for the inner strength to carry you through whatever the burden it may be that you're dealing with. He wants to give it to us. He wants to give us this inner strength. Which leads directly to our next point, and said that God would give us inner strength according to the riches of His glory. There's a huge difference in the term giving someone out of someone's ability versus giving according to someone's ability or riches. Or riches. If a millionaire gave some cause $50 or $100, he would be giving out of his wealth. But for him to give maybe $100,000, he'll be giving according to his wealth. So the greater a person's wealth is, the greater the gift would be to be giving according to his ability, according to his wealth. So for God to give according to the riches of His glory, it's absolutely staggering because His riches are limitless. Later in this same prayer, Ephesians 3, Paul describes God as Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Do we really believe God has that power? Do we really believe He is able to give us out of His abundant riches? His grace and mercy are inexhaustible, certainly more than sufficient to supply all of our needs. God will give us strength by His Spirit. I will tell you now, I don't know all about how God's Spirit interacts with our spirit. I do believe there's a special relationship between the two. Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Ephesians 1:17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of Him. Just two verses that kind of illustrate this some relationship, interaction between God's spirit and our spirit. But to take this thought in a little different way, I do know that the Spirit of God is involved in revealing His Word to us through the writers of the Bible. Verses like 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and we know that through His Spirit, through the Comforter, this came. So when I need inner strength of the inner man, we've talked about tonight, in addition to prayer, there are abundant scriptures that I can read indicating God's care, God's love, examples how He cared for others, and confident that He will care for me. Yes, for me. For me He careth with loving, tender care. So, what have we said this evening? Paul prayed that God would grant them strength in the inner man. We have an inner man, our heart, our soul, our mind. And the inner man is much more important than the outer or physical man. Our outward man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. We must not faint. We must not be discouraged. We need to pray for more than just getting better. We need to pray for strength for the inner man. God will give us strength according to the abundance of His riches. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or think. So God's blessings are endless. The question is, do we really believe this? Do we really act like this? And there's strength to be gained through His Word as revealed by the Holy Spirit. It's up to us to reach that strength. And as we so often say, and sometimes seem almost empty at times, all this comes to us through study of His Word and through prayer. So those are the thoughts I have tonight about praying for strength for the inner man. And God will grant us that strength through His abundant riches. So how about you? Are you a child of God where you can pray for that inner strength? Where you can approach Him in prayer? Are you, or were you a Christian in good standing with the Lord, but now you're not because of things that have come up in your life? God wants to grant us all this inner strength. He wants to strengthen our inner man. He wants us to be in heaven with Him. Tonight, if you need our prayers, our help, if we can help you be closer to God in any way, come to the front while we stand and sing.